This is the To The Point podcast. Together with our ERISA attorney, we'll explore key Affordable Care Act and trending compliance topics, all in 15 minutes or less. Now here's our host, Sarah Gillespie.
Welcome to our To The Point podcast. This is Sarah Gillespie. I'm the compliance director at Lipscomb & Pitts Insurance in Memphis, Tennessee. And I have with me our ERISA attorney, Stacy Barrow of Marathis, Barrow, Weatherhead & Lent in Boston. Hello, Stacy. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning.
So, Stacy, I know as we've talked and I've talked with some other groups and colleagues and things across the country that we are seeing employers starting to receive penalty letters from the IRS related to their 2015 compliance with the employer mandate, also known as pay or play. So in this podcast, we want to explain what those are about and how employers should handle them. And Stacy, you recently wrote a client alert that talked about how the IRS had updated its list of frequently asked questions related to the employer mandate, where they indicated that penalty letters for calendar year 2015 would start to go out to employers in late 2017. And we do see that happening. So as a quick reminder, the employer mandate requires applicable large employers with 50 full-time plus full-time equivalent employees to provide health coverage to at least 95% of their full-time employees that is both affordable per the government's definition of affordability and that meets minimum value coverage requirements. So the penalty letters to which we are referring are the letters addressing employers' potential failure to comply with these requirements. So, Stacy, can you explain more about what an employer should expect from the letter, which is known as IRS letter 226J, and then how they should respond?
Yes. So the, as you said, the IRS has begun sending out penalty letters for the 2015 calendar year ACA reporting. It is letter 226J, and it is a notice of a proposed penalty. It's not a formal notice and demand for payment. It's just used to propose and assess penalties. And it will include a brief explanation of the employer mandate, and then it'll have a table that summarizes the penalty by month and whether it's being imposed under the A or the B penalty, the $2,000 penalty for failure to offer coverage to 95% of your employees, 70% in 2015, or the B penalty, which is the $3,000 penalty, and that's the one that applies when you have failed to make an offer of coverage that is affordable and minimum value. So it'll tell you which penalty you are exposed to. There's a form called the Form 14764. It's an employer response form, and you use that form to indicate whether you agree or disagree with the IRS's penalty, with the amount. Maybe you agree with some of it, but not all of it. And so you need to complete that when you're responding. The letter also will have a list of full-time employees who receive the marketplace coverage each month and for whom the employer did not qualify for an affordability safe harbor or other relief. And that is Form 14765. It'll also contain a description of the action that the employer should take if it either agrees or disagrees with the proposed payment amount. And then, of course, it tells you the actions that the IRS will take if you don't respond timely. And one of the more important things about this letter is that it sets a pretty aggressive time frame for a response. You have 30 days to respond. If you don't respond timely, you could potentially jeopardize your ability to appeal. So that's a 30-day response time, and that is actually described on the letter itself in the upper right-hand corner. Once you respond, and we do recommend that you engage counsel to respond, you know, someone that is familiar with these requirements, who is used to talking to the IRS and dealing with them, and knows how to, you know, respond properly and say the right things and reserve your rights to further appeals and all of that good stuff, and really to make a responsive response to the IRS that explains exactly why you shouldn't be subject to the penalty. We've seen a couple of dozen letters come through our office received by employers around the country. And without exception, the ones that we have seen, the employers have all disagreed with the penalty amounts. They believe that they should not be subject to penalties and that they provided or offered minimum essential coverage that was affordable and minimum value. And what we're seeing in very large part is the penalty notices are simply due to little hiccups in the reporting where the employer or the vendor neglected to check the right box. And a lot of this stuff is confusing. It is the first, you know, this was the first year that the mandate was in effect, and, you know, not everyone got it right. And so sometimes it's fairly easy to respond. You just note that, you know, yes, we should have checked this box versus the other box. But again, you know, the devil is in the details. Not every response out there will be straightforward. And so we do recommend that you talk to counsel and have them either prepare the response or review it. We're happy to do that. Usually takes just a couple of hours of available time to review and prepare the letter, but we think that probably a good idea. One other thing to note is that really the only employers that should be getting penalty letters this year for the 2015 reporting are those with over 100 employees in 2014. Most employers in the 50 to 99 range in terms of their 2014 headcount, they should have had an exemption from penalties in 2015 due to transition relief. So if you're a mid-sized employer in the 50 to 99 range and you've gotten one of these letters, again, talk to your benefit consultant at Lipscomb and Pitts. They'll get in touch with us if need be, and we'll, you know, make sure that, you know, if you qualified for that transition relief, that you put that in the response and you avoid any IRS penalties.
Are there situations where it's clear that you need to have counsel respond versus something that the employer might be able to handle themselves? Like, for instance, one where they were for sure not over 100 that year?
That one is a little trickier because you have to make sure you qualify for the transition relief and you want the letter to kind of draw it out and list what the transition relief is and describe how you fit within it. So that one is a little trickier. I mean, maybe one that's a little simpler would be if you marked no instead of yes in terms of offering minimum essential coverage. And we've seen a few letters like that and help the employer respond when all they really needed to do was check a different box. That again, it takes less than a couple of hours to prepare the response. And so it's short money when compared with what the likely penalty amount is on the first page of the letter. But, you know, for those simpler kind of things, maybe you can get comfortable responding, but, you know, we still do recommend that you consult with counsel, whether it's us or your internal counsel, before you send that letter off to the IRS.
So, Stacy, is there ever a situation where an employer would get a second letter? Like, for instance, the IRS says, oops, we forgot these three employees?
It's certainly possible that you may receive multiple letters from the IRS. When you as an employer respond, the IRS will send you a response using letter 227. And there's five different versions of letter 227 that they're going to use depending on the facts. And then as an employer, depending on what that letter 227 says, and if you disagree with it, then you can request a pre-assessment conference with the agent and talk it through. And if you don't respond to the IRS letter 227, then they'll just go ahead and issue a notice in demand for payment, which is notice CP 220J.
Okay, so I think the key points to remember from this conversation is, first, you need to respond quickly because you're only given 30 days. And second, you need to engage counsel in order to receive help in ensuring that the outcome is the correct outcome that you want to achieve. So if you would like to reach out to Stacy, you can always come through me and I can connect you directly. This is, again, Sarah Gillespie with Lipscomb and Pitts Insurance. So you can reach me at Sarah G at lpinsurance.com, and we'd be happy to walk through it, connect you with Stacy, and help with any other questions. But I think this was a very helpful conversation, Stacy, because I know that this is a real world situation, and a lot of the ones that we have discussed among our colleagues are in error. So we definitely want to make sure that we get the employers to the correct resolution. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this podcast. Please listen to one of our other podcasts on various benefits compliance topics, and have a great day.